Welcome to The Explainer. Today, we're jumping right into this really high-stakes meeting where top judges from over 50 countries got together. And they weren't just there to talk. They were there to face head-on some massive forces that are shaking the very foundations of law and justice as we know it.
So I want you to just imagine the entire institution of law, you know, ancient, steady, deliberate, suddenly colliding with things like exponential technology, a global climate crisis, and commerce that just zips across borders like they aren't even there. And this isn't some far-off future problem. Nope, it's happening right now, and it's putting this immense pressure on legal systems absolutely everywhere.
You know, this one sentence from the conference in Doha really just captures the whole problem, doesn't it? In a world this interconnected, no single legal system can go it alone. So let's dive in and start by looking at the first huge challenge they talked about.
Okay, so the first disruptive force is one we are all grappling with: artificial intelligence. I mean, it is knocking on the courthouse door, and it's promising a revolution, but it's also bringing with it some profound, serious risks.
This is the big question, right? This is what judges are really asking themselves. Because AI isn't some sci-fi concept anymore. It's here, it's now, and its impact is already being felt in courtrooms and law firms all over the globe.
The whole debate around AI and the courtroom is this. Well, it's this stark contrast. On one hand, you have this incredible hope, right? The hope that it could make justice faster, more accessible, maybe by summarizing mountains of documents, or even settling small claims. But the fears, they're just as real. AI can inherit our own biases, it totally lacks human empathy, and this is the alarming one, it could just invent information out of thin air.
And look, this is not a hypothetical, this actually happened. An AI, with what looked like complete confidence, just made up legal precedents. It created cases that looked totally real, but had absolutely no basis in reality. This shows you the clear and present danger of relying on this stuff without a human being double and triple checking everything. The bottom line is, you just can't blindly trust the output.
And all this new technology, it creates a complete minefield of new legal questions. I mean, think about it. If an AI makes a mistake that costs someone their freedom or their life savings, who's to blame? The person who coded it? The person who used it? And how are courts supposed to handle evidence that might be a perfect, undetectable deepfake? These are the thorny issues judges now have to figure out. And this isn't the only area where accountability is really being put to the test.
Right. So the next major force challenging the law is this growing global demand for corporate accountability, especially when it comes to the climate crisis and environmental damage.
So picture this scenario. A developing nation signs a big 35-year contract with a foreign company to come in and use its natural resources. The deal promised jobs, it promised investment, and on paper, at the time, it probably seemed like a pretty good idea, a path to economic growth.
But then you fast forward 15 years. The company's work has caused devastating, completely unsustainable environmental damage. So the government tries to renegotiate, to slow things down. But the company says no. They just point to that legally binding contract and argue they have a right to the profits they were promised, no matter what the environmental cost is.
And this gets to the heart of the matter. Is a company's only duty to its shareholders, to that bottom line? Or does it have a bigger responsibility to society, to the environment, and yeah, to future generations? This is the exact debate that's now walking right into the courtroom.
The whole conversation is shifting. Courts are now seeing cases that argue for a much more holistic view of what a corporation's duty is. They're being asked to consider the true costs of doing business, which basically means a company can't really claim to be profitable if it's just pushing massive cleanup bills and social problems onto the public and the planet.
So when you're faced with these powerful global forces, how can the legal system possibly respond? Well, judges aren't just sitting back and watching. They're actually forging new tools, new weapons, to fight back and try to make sure that justice isn't only for the rich and powerful.
So this first tool, it's a bit controversial, but it's incredibly powerful. It's called litigation funding. And what it means, essentially, is that outside investors can fund a lawsuit. Now, if you're an individual or a small community trying to go up against a giant multinational corporation with a practically unlimited legal budget, this is a total game changer. It gives you the financial firepower to even step into the ring.
Let this number sink in. £108 million. That's the estimated legal cost for just one company's lawyers, BHP, in the legal fight over the tragic River Doce dam disaster in Brazil. Just one company.
Without litigation funding, there is simply no realistic way the thousands of victims could ever hope to seek justice against that kind of spending.
The second weapon is cooperation. It's a big strategic shift. Instead of working in their own little silos, commercial courts are building a global network. They're realizing that a problem in one country often creates ripple effects in many others, so they're teaming up to create more predictable and stable commercial law.
So how are they doing this? Well, they're using forums like CIFAC, the Standing International Forum of Commercial Courts, which is the very group that held this meeting. They're sharing ideas on everything from handling digital evidence to managing bankruptcies that span multiple countries. The whole goal is to create a more cohesive global justice system that can't be outmaneuvered by problems that don't care about borders.
So, after all of this, what does it really mean for the future? Well, it feels like we're left with this central tension, this conflict between the cold logic of technology and the very, very human nature of justice.
The keynote speech at the conference laid this conflict out beautifully. Justice needs human qualities that, at least for now, AI just can't replicate. It isn't just about applying rules like a calculator. It's about wisdom, fairness, courage, and really understanding the human stakes that are involved in every single case.
And this quote, really captures the whole essence of public trust, doesn't it? It's a faith in the human process. It's the belief that a person, not an algorithm, is striving to reach a just outcome. It's trust in the integrity and the character of the decision maker. And that is a uniquely human quality.
So this is the ultimate takeaway. As we bring in all these powerful new tools like AI, the biggest challenge, the greatest challenge, is going to be making sure that our search for efficiency doesn't make us lose the very soul of justice itself. And that is the question that judges, lawyers, and really all of us are going to have to answer.